Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
If I might ask for your assistance, go to the New Testament book of Philippians, chapter number 4. That's where I want us to draw some thoughts from in our allotted time. Philippians chapter 4. Paul the Apostle pens Philippians to the church at Philippi, a city he knew well, a church in a city he knew well. He was there on his second missionary journey, the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. We see he comes into Philippi after picking up Timothy. Luke is there, Silas as well, and they go work in the city of Philippi. That's where he meets Lydia, a lady that we will study in our vacation Bible school, a seller of purple. She was on the riverbanks there in the city of Philippi with other women. We see that he meets a woman, a different woman, who is possessed with a demon, cast her out, winds up in prison. Long story short, converts to Philippian jailer and saves his whole household through that. When Paul writes to the church at Philippi, it's a very perplexing letter, really, when you read through it. Because if you just read through it without any context, it's a very happy letter. It's often a peaceful letter, joyful letter. It's often called the most joyful. It actually talks about hope more than it does joy in its 4 chapters. But I say it's perplexing because Paul's sitting in prison when he writes this. It's one of the 4 prison epistles that he writes. And it's very interesting that a man who is in prison could be so joyous and could have so much hope, but he knows what's waiting for him on the other side, and he also knows that he's in prison for preaching the gospel. I want us to look in the 4th chapter, if you will, for just a moment, and we're going to begin in verse 1, but we're going to draw our thoughts from the end. But I just want to read these verses to you, and then we'll key back in on verse 19. Therefore, my beloved brethren, my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, dearly beloved. I beseech you, Otis and Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help the women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me is flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, for I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done. He did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly those that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That's a pretty good church at Philippi. He's commending certain people by name. And I really love that phrase, and those whose names are in the book of life. You know, it's one thing to have your name in the Bible. That's pretty cool. But it's a better thing to have your name in the book of life. Of course, we get that famous statement, think on these things. We read in context, I could do all things through Christ. But notice the church at Philippi, they helped him when no other church would. Even still while he's doing this, I want you to key into verse 19. And I want you to think about something that maybe in the digital world we don't see as much of, but we still do. It's a little piece of paper. It's about this long. It's about this tall. And on one side it has your address. And you sign it in the bottom corner. It has all sorts of numbers that key to your account. I want to talk about a check for just a moment. Because I can find a check or a note drawn on a bank of faith. Follow me here in verse number 19. As you think about maybe a check in your mind's eye, notice what Paul says. Number one, but my God. Well, that would be the banker. God is the banker because God is the one that is giving out all these things. But keep going. He says, my God, the banker, he shall supply. That seems like a promise to pay, doesn't it to me? And doesn't it to you? You know, we write a check to whoever, pay the amount of $3, whatever the case may be. That's a promise that when they cash that check, the bank will hand them back whatever that dollar amount is. Well, God is going to pay what? Keep going. All your needs. That's the value of the note. He's not just going to barely make a payment. You know, sometimes when you make a payment, you can write for the exact amount. I usually round up to the next dollar, so I don't have to try to write out in cursive however many cents. You just round it off. God's going to pay and pay over and above anything and everything we could ever want and desire. So we've got the banker, the promise, and the value. But what about the capital? You know, if I were to write you a note and I put from the bank of Justin Reed and I were to write $100,000 on it and you take it to your bank, they're going to laugh at you. And depending on who it is, they know me, they're going to really laugh if you take it to some of these banks because I get to know people here there. So you got to have capital. That's why we use these banks. And, you know, banks, they'll brag, we have so much million in capital. That is a proof they're good on their word. Notice, my God, the banker, he shall supply. That's the promise. According to all your needs, that's the value. What's the capital? According to his riches. Is that not the greatest capital that there ever could be? You can't put a dollar amount on that. I've heard the story told of a man, and he was behind on paying taxes. And so his IRS agent knocked on his door, and they're talking. And he said, well, what are your possessions? And the man says, well, I have an eternal home. He said, okay. And the tax writer writes that down. He said, the streets are paved with gold. And the man writes that down. And the walls are of pure glass. He goes through the whole picture of heaven. And he says, I have an inheritance from my father. And he writes all that down. And the IRS agent stands up and gets ready to walk out the door. And he says, sir, you truly are blessed because none of what you have is taxable. Because all of his possessions were on the other side. He couldn't put a dollar amount to it. So it's according to his riches. That's the greatest capital. But I want you to notice, you look at every bank, it's going to say, insert wherever you bank here, because I don't want to pick on banks. I know we got a lot of banks here. But, you know, it'll say Homeland. It'll say first, whatever the bank is, it'll have the bank and their address on there. Well, this check's got one too. Catch this. His riches, what? In glory. There's the bank's address. It is in heaven. It is in glory. And then no check is valid until it's got a signature down in the bottom. Actually, spoiler alert, you can almost sign anywhere on the front and they'll cash it. My great-grandmother had macular degeneration and got where she couldn't see. And so literally she could just write anywhere on that check and they knew to cash that. Well, this check is cashed as well. Notice what the last words are. By Christ Jesus. He's the signature at the bottom of the check. That's a pretty good bank note, isn't it? You've got the banker, the promise to pay. You've got the value. You've got the capital, the address. And it's signed in blood by Jesus Christ. And you know what? Without his signature, it's worthless. Just like without his blood in your life cleansing you from sin, life is worthless. You know, you can write a check all you want to, and if you never sign it, it's not going to do you any good at all. And these are the blessings that we as Christians receive. Now, people in the world, they don't get this check. They don't get all these riches. They don't get all these blessings abounding over and over. But we Christians do. Just think how truly blessed you are. But you got to make good on his promise. So he signed the check. He is willing to hand it over to you, so to speak. but you got to meet him on his terms, which he said at Calvary. You must do what I say, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. You do that, you go down that watery grave, come out a new creature alive in Christ. Why not become a Christian tonight if you haven't already? And then riches untold await you when you live faithful to the very end. If you're not a Christian, become one. If you're not a faithful Christian after you've been baptized, you need to become faithful once again. It only takes a step to make your life right. Why not turn back to him today? We would love to pray with you and pray for you.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Glad to have you along with us here on Reading the Word. Yes, my name is Justin Reed, and you can catch this program anytime online at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio programs. From there, you can scroll down. This is program 158. We just talked about the Bank of Faith, but all the programs before it, Lord willing, the ones that come after it, listen to online anytime, no charge. Never ask you for a dime on this program, just appreciative of your time. Since our show is called Reading the Word, I'd like to close out. We've been the last couple of weeks reading in the book of James, and I want to pick up that reading now. The epistle of James, chapter 2, beginning on verse 14, is where we should begin today. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Wilt thou then know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought in with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise was also not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. James chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, that hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine fig? So can no fountain yield both salt water and fresh. I think we're going to pause our reading there as time's getting ready to escape us. That's James chapter 3 through verse number 12. Once again, I do appreciate you spending some of your time with us here, and I hope we can do it again the next allotted time. Once again, anytime online, this program is Reading the Word, reading.net. Until next time, may the good Lord bless you and keep you. Thanks for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.